Punya Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaru Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaru Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaru Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaru Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Varivirajaka Acharya Stotarastu Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Lazy Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Go Premanande Hari Hari Bo Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to the assembled devotees. Agarishu Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chayava Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nishtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 19. The killing of the demon Hiranyaksha. Today's text 33. So Maitreya has just finished speaking something. As Maitreya speaks most of the, he's the main speaker in the third, fourth, is it fifth? The fifth cantos, or third and fourth. And now, of course, Sutta is the main overall speaker of the Bhagavatam. So we're going back to Sutta Goswami in today's verse. Word meanings, Sutta, Sutta Goswami. Uvacha said, iti thus, Koshalava, from Maitreya, son of Kusharu, Akyatam, told, Ashutya, having heard, Bhagavat Gatam, the narration about the Lord, Kshatta, Vidura, Anandam, bliss, Param transcendental, Labhe achieved, Mahabhagavata, the great devotee, Dvija, O Brahmana, Shaunaka. Suto vacha, iti kaushadavakyatam, ashrutya bhagavat katam. Shatyanandam parang lebhe Mahabhagavato dvija Suto vacha Iti kaushala vakyatam Ashrutya bhagavat katam Shattanandam parang lebhe Mahabhagavato dvija Iti kaushara vakyatam Asrutya bhagavat katam Mahabhagavato dvija Suto vacha Iti kaushala vakyatam Asrutya bhagavat katam Kshatanandam param lebhe Mahabhagavato dvija Iti kaushala vakyatam Asrutya bhagavat katam Kshatanandam param lebhe Mahabhagavato dvija Iti kaushala vakyatam Asrutya bhagavat katam Kittanandam param lebhe Mahabhagavato dvija Iti kaushala vakyatam Asrutya bhagavat katam Chittanandam Param Lebe Mahabhagavato Dvija Iti Kaushalabhakyatam Asrutya Bhagavat Katam Chittanandam Param Lebe Mahabhagavato Dvija Iti Kaushalabhakyatam Asrutya Bhagavat Katam Chittanandam Param Lebe Mahabhagavato Dvija Iti Kaushalabhakyatam Asrutya Bhagavat Katam Chittanandam Param Lebe Mahabhagavato Dvija. Translation. Sri Suta Goswami continued. My dear Brahmana, Kshatta Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the authoritative source of the sage Kaushalabha, Maitreya, and he was very pleased. Srila Prabhupada's purport. If anyone wants to derive transcendental pleasure by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, he must hear from the authoritative source, as explained here. Maitreya heard the narration from his bona fide spiritual master, and Vidura also heard from Maitreya. One becomes an authority simply by presenting whatever he has heard from his spiritual master. And one who does not accept a bona fide spiritual master cannot be an authority. This is clearly explained here. If one wants to have transcendental pleasure, he must find a person with authority. It is also stated in the Bhagavatam that simply by hearing from an authoritative source with the ear and the heart, one can relish the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, it is not possible. Sanatana Goswami, therefore, has especially warned that one should not hear anything about the personality of the Lord from the lips of a non-devotee. Non-devotees are considered to be like serpents. As milk is poisoned by a serpent's touch, so although the narration of the pastimes of the Lord is as pure as milk, when administered by serpent-like non-devotees, it becomes poisonous. Not only does it have no effect in transcendental pleasure, but it is dangerous also. Lord Chaitanya has warned that no description of the pastimes of the Lord should be heard from the Mayavad or impersonalist school. He has clearly said, Mayavadi bhashya shunile haya sarvanash. If anyone hears the Mayavadi's interpretation of the pastimes of the Lord, or their interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or any other Vedic literature, then he is doomed. Once one is associated with impersonalists, he can never understand the personal feature of the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. Suta Goswami was speaking to the sages headed by Shaunaka, and therefore he addressed them in this verse as Dvija, twice born. The sages assembled in Naimisharanya, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami, were all brahmanas. But to acquire the qualification of a brahmana is not everything. Merely to be twice born is not perfection. Perfection is attained when one hears the pastimes and activities of the Lord from a bona fide source. Om Jnana Timiransasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshudan Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're kind of learning a couple of names here today. We're learning that, I don't know who this person is, from Maitreya, son of Kusharu. I don't know if that's a man or a woman. Does anybody know anything about Kusharu? I think Maitreya means son of Mitra, or maybe in the line of Mitra. So I don't know Kusharu. And also Vidura is called Kshatta. Now this I may or may not be connected to the word Kshatriya. I don't know, again. But it's interesting that Vidura, although if you know his history, of course, he was born from a maidservant. Vyasadeva is his father. And he was the son of a maidservant. So he has this kind of questionable caste. But because he was part of the Kuru dynasty, he's considered to be a Kshatriya. Many times when Maitreya is addressing Vidura, he refers to him with some kind of Kshatriya name. And we also hear, sometimes he calls him, you know, oh, defeater of the foe, and those kinds of things. So I have always thought that was interesting because of his situation. And what was I going to say? Anyway, so Vidura is, another example of, he carried a bow. We know that he carried a bow because when he spoke to Dhritarashtra, as he often did, trying to give him good instruction, good guidance, and when he was insulted by Duryodhana and he left the palace, it said he left his bow by the door and he went on pilgrimage. So so apparently he carried a bow around when he went, even when he went to see Dhritarashtra. So he's called Kshatta. There may be a connection, I'm not sure. So then also Prabhupada points out we also have Dvija, old Brahmanas. Shoshonika is speaking to the Brahmanas here. So we'll go through the purport. It's actually right away it struck me that Prabhupada said, if anyone wants to derive transcendental pleasure by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, he must hear from the authoritative source. So the first thing that struck me was, it's okay to want transcendental pleasure. And we tend to think, of course, everything we're doing, we want to get prema, we want to get Krishna prema. And it almost sounds kind of selfish. I'm in it for the pleasure, right? Whether it's transcendental pleasure or mundane pleasure, it's about me getting pleasure. So when you hear it, you might think, you know, if you had a true false quiz to a devotee, you might ask, is it okay to want pleasure, transcendental pleasure? Some of you might think, well, gee, I don't know. Maybe I'm not supposed to want that, you know? It's all about loving Krishna. It's not about my pleasure. But actually, it's actually bona fide. I've come across this often. We're supposed to actually want that. We're supposed to want to get transcendental pleasure. Of course, in the beginning of when we hear about Krishna consciousness, of course, that's part of our pitch, right? You want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. So if you want to be happy, chant Hare Krishna. Become a Hare Krishna. And it's kind of a side benefit, we know, but you can actually want that. Because by nature, of course, we're pleasure-seeking creatures. We're part of Krishna. Part of Krishna's Swarup Shakti, part of his Hladini Shakti. So pleasure is part of who he is. Of course, Krishna is not different from his potencies. You know, he has Samvit, Sandini, and Hladini, which is the cognition or thinking. Interesting, if you think of it, these things make sense. A lot of times we have these lists of different kinds of lists of things. And we may think that sometimes it may seem a little arbitrary. I mean, just like the three modes of material nature, they're not arbitrary. They make a lot of sense, actually, why you have these three particular modes. And one is about inertia, and one is about action, and one is about balance, really. Or there's a whole list of, there's many lists, actually, of different characteristics of these different modes. And you can see how they're the thread that holds everything together in this material world. They're what makes things happen. They're what makes things progress. They're what puts an end to things. So similarly, this Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini, they make sense. Just like we ourselves, we have these two sides. We have our emotional side, and we have our thinking side, our intellectual side. So that's samvit and ladini, really. It's emotion. Ultimately, of course, the emotion we want is happiness. And ladini shakti personified happiness as Srimati Radharani. Of course, why is she always happy? Because she's serving Krishna. She's Krishna's lover. She loves Krishna, and Krishna loves her. But she's the, as Prabhupada said, the pleasure potency, the happiness potency. So that's just, as I'm saying, as part of who we are, we have this emotional side and we have this cognitive side, thinking side. So we have thinking and feeling. These are part of who we are. And the third thing is just existence itself. We exist. We exist with these two sides. You know, of course, Radharani, she's in charge of the Ladini, or she's a personification of Ladini. And Krishna is Chit, and Balaram is existence. So when everything takes place in this, it all exists because of Balaram, actually. Even the again, these are potencies. They're part of Krishna, who he is. They're non-different from him. But we also think of them in some ways as different, just to speak about them. So really, Krishna, he just enjoys, because the essential part of the three, the Srup Shakti, the most essential is the Taladini Shakti. That's the heart. It's like we talk about emotion as the heart. So the heart of Krishna's Srup Shakti, or the essence, or the most important part of Krishna's Srup Shakti. Srup Shakti means it's him, basically. It's not something external to him. It's part of who he is, his actual being. So the heart of Krishna's Srup Shakti is the Taladini Shakti. So Srimati Radharani is personification of that, or you can say in charge of that. She's the one who gives it out, actually. If we want happiness, just like it says here, get transcendental pleasure by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Well, how does it come? Because Radha gives it. She likes people hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, hearing about Krishna. She'll bestow happiness upon you if you hear about Krishna. And the chit potency is cognition, again, thinking, that that's overseen by Krishna himself. That's connected with Krishna. And the eternity, that's, as again, eternity or existence. We actually use these words, you know, as synonyms, eternity or existence. This is what one thing that struck me, I remember, when I first read Bhagavad Gita, where sometimes Prabhupada will say something, does not exist, something does not exist. Like, the material body does not exist. Phrases like that, I think, what do you mean it doesn't exist? Of course it exists. It's real. So what Prabhupada is like, when he would use that phrase, often you would have to, the basic idea is that it doesn't exist eternally. It exists momentarily. So in one sense, it's not a real thing, because it's just a flash. It's here today, gone tomorrow. So the existence potency, which is existence itself, that's overseen by Balaram. There's a pastime of someone trying to kill Balaram. In different fights, someone is fighting, just like Prahlambas, where he wanted to kill Balaram, right? He thought Krishna was too strong. He's going to fight with Balaram instead. Guess he didn't know Sanskrit. He didn't know what his name meant, right? Bala, he has all the strength. So he's trying to kill existence itself. Right? He's trying to kill Balaram. He's trying to kill existence itself. How can he do that? Obviously, he's not going to be successful. So one of the qualifications of asuras is they're not very smart. Just like criminals, actually. Anyone who works in criminal justice, they'll tell you, these criminals are not very smart. So, of course, in one sense, of course, another connected to that is people also come to the stage where they don't want to exist either. But sorry, you're going to always exist. That you can't change that. You can kill this body, but you're still going to be around. And all it does is make things worse. Not only are you going to have to suffer what you didn't want to be suffering, because that's your karma, but you're bringing on more bad karma by killing yourself. Krishna has given you the body for a particular purpose. If you waste it, then there are consequences to that. So you can't kill your existence. You exist and you will always exist. So that existence is overseen by Balaram, Bala. He has the power upon which everything rests. The whole material world, which exists for some time. Of course, it exists eternally also, of course. Actually, everything is eternal when you think about it. Everything is cyclic. We always want to think about, well, when did it start? Right? I made this point before. You know, was Krishna, actually Krishna just is always Krishna. He's always this blue cowherd boy. It wasn't that he was something impersonal or something without any, and he decided one day, gee, I think I'd like to be a cowherd boy. That sounds pretty cool, you know. And I'll have all these friends. No, he just is. It just is. There are certain things you don't explain. That's just the nature of reality. I was thinking of this the other day. I think no wonder people find it hard to accept, you know. They're trying to figure out what reality is, and we say, this is reality. Really? That's reality? It sounds so specific, you think, well, how could it be, you know? They want it to be something kind of amorphous, and you know, but a blue cowherd boy, this is reality? This is what it's all about? It's a shocking, revolutionary. We have a really revolutionary philosophy, that's for sure. So in any case, in the purport here, Prabhupada, it's interesting because I just gave class the other day and Prabhupada brings up the same point about hearing from authority. And last time it was because of in the verse it said anu, something about, yeah, yatanuktam. So anuktam, Prabhupada, in the word for word, it's just translated as told. My dear Vidura, I have explained to you the personality of Godhead coming down. So this explanation or telling, anuktam. So because it has this anu in it, anu means following. So Prabhupada always takes it as me implying parampara. So again today, he's talking about how Vidura is happy because he has heard from Maitreya. So why is he happy? Because Maitreya is coming in parampara. Actually, he describes earlier, 8th chapter, his parampara is actually given there. He says, now I'll speak in the Bhagavatam, and this is how I heard it. And he mentions his parampara. So again, going back to this, I'll look at this again, purport. If anyone wants to derive transcendental pleasure by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, he must hear from the authoritative source, as explained here. So this again, then how does one become an authority? By hearing what, by repeating or accepting, one hears from another authority. And again, Prabhupada brings up this idea of pleasure. He says, if one wants to have transcendental pleasure, he must find a person with authority. Of course, everyone is promising us pleasure. That's what Madison Avenue is all about. I don't know, maybe this is an outdated term. I don't know if they use that, Madison Avenue. But that's where the advertising, advertising agencies have their headquarters, many of them. Now, of course, it's the internet. You can't do anything without being bombarded by somebody trying to give you transcendental pleasure. That's the way they're packaging it. You want happiness, well, do this, then you'll get happy. And believe us, because we're the authority. We know how to do it, and we'll show you how to do it. Just sign up here, click here, subscribe here, and we'll give you transcendental pleasure. So then it says, Prabhupada, he says, it is also stated in the Bhagavatam that by hearing from authoritative source, with the ear and the heart, isn't that a nice, I read that, I said, well, that's nice. Because a lot of times we hear, but our hearts not really paying attention. I think of these two words, hearing and listening. Maybe your hearing, it's going in your ear, there's some sound vibration, the sound waves are entering in, so there's a hearing going on, but are you listening? Or the sound waves are just going in and bouncing off and coming back out, or as we say, going in one ear and coming out the other. There's no consciousness. I often mention how I listen a lot. I walk every day and I listen to things. And a lot of times I'm not hearing. I'm listening. It's coming in my ear. The other thing is,
a lot of times I hear something and it'll strike some thought in my mind, so then I'll go off on some train of thought for the next half hour and haven't heard what's been going in. I think that's a problem in Bhagavatam class too. I don't know if any of you have that experience. The speaker says something and the rest of the class, all you can think about is what that person said, especially if it's personal. If the person says something about themselves really personal, then you'll be thinking about that the whole class. Won't hear anything the person said. So we have to hear and we have to listen at the same, we have to listen, we have to pay attention. And then the heart, of course. Now, of course, part of the idea of hearing with the heart is that, well, you have a favorable attitude toward the authority, the person who's speaking. And of course, we speak on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of the Parampara, on behalf of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there has to be some respect there. There has to be a heartfelt hearing. So, or as Prabhupada would say, submissive oral reception. Not that you put up your defenses and you want to, you know, sometimes you have this experience, you try to speak to someone and they just want to argue every point you make, right? Even we make some analogy and what they do, they try to tear apart the analogy and try to, instead of, you know, they argue about the analogy instead of what the point is that you're trying to make. It's because they're defensive. They don't want to be Hare Krishna as part of it. they have to defend themselves, their integrity, by putting up arguments. So there has to be a heartfelt hearing. The heart has to be into it. So then, of course, Prabhupada brings in the other side of it. If you hear from those who are not authorities, especially Prabhupada's favorite target, the Mayavadis. Don't hear from the Mayavadis. He makes it so heavy here. You're doomed. Lord Chaitanya said, Hoya Sarvanash. Mayavadi Bhashya, of course, that can be taken specifically to mean Shankaracharya's Shariraka Bhashya commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Mayavadi Bhashya Shuninale Hoya Sarvanash. If you hear it, then everything is destroyed. Of course, if you hear it, especially somewhere I was reading, I forget, some authority, one of our authorities, says it's okay to read to defeat the Mayavadis. That's one thing. You might read, you know, if you're a scholar, for example, you might read Shariraka Bhashya, or if you're a devotee and you want to hear, like Jiva Goswami, he obviously read Shariraka Bhashya. He knew he knew Mayavadi philosophy better than any Mayavadi knows. If you read Jiva Goswami, and he's always smashing the Mayavad philosophy. So that's one kind of hearing. You're hearing to get your ammunition, know how to defeat their arguments. Now, of course, where Prabhupada often guides us through, he says what they say, and he tells us, and he gives the counter-argument. There are some different little anecdotes of Prabhupada, right, taking the role of the Mayavadi and arguing with his disciples, challenging them. He probably always won, actually. We see that, too. Lord Chaitanya would do that in his pastimes, right? He would argue either side, and he would always win because he was... But that's Tarka Pratishta Shutayo Bibinnam, it says in Mahabharata. You never reach it. Tarka Apratishta. Tarka means argument or debate. Apratishta means it doesn't settle anywhere. It just goes on and on. That you might see with someone who doesn't really want to know. They just want to defeat what you're saying. So the argument just goes back and forth, back and forth. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapanta. So therefore you have to hear from the devotee who has realization within the heart. Then it's effective. That the truth of religious principles is hidden within the heart of the pure devotee. And that's the way it's stated. So that it's confidential knowledge. And you get it by their blessings. Ultimately, that's how it comes. You have to be blessed. This is not ordinary knowledge. So you have to be blessed. You have to try to make yourself a proper receptacle for the knowledge. Then you have to be blessed by the person who is giving that knowledge. Then it will be effective. So Prabhupada ends his purport here by saying how these were all brahmanas. He has to make this point. They're all brahmanas, but that's not the end of it. Just because you're a brahmana doesn't... And the idea is that they're brahmanas, but they're not... puffed up, thinking, well, we know everything. We're going to hear from Sutta Goswami because he knows more. For one thing, of course, he heard from Shukadeva Goswami. He was there when the Bhagavatam was recited. I just came across this recently. I didn't know it was there. There's a verse in the 12th canto where Shukadeva Goswami says, he mentions Suta Goswami, actually, in that big assembly. He points out Suta Goswami as being present in that assembly, saying that he will speak in the future. So he's especially got the blessings of Shukadeva Goswami, so he's certainly qualified. And the sages at Naimisharanya, they're all sages, all brahmanas, and they're willing to hear from him. Okay, so I'll stop here. You know, actually, I have to end the class now because I, like many old men, I have to use the bathroom too much. And usually when I give class, I don't drink before, but I wasn't expecting to give class today, so I drank a lot of water. So I need to get out of here. I'm sorry. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.